Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Sorry I'm late. There's a prison work crew in the park across the street. And you should have heard some of those raunchy, sleazy come-ons.
Pretty bad, huh?
Oh, yeah. I really outdid myself. I should write a book. Hey, Bex, you know, you might be interested to know that one of those cons out there is your pasty-faced billionaire boyfriend.
Robin?
Yeah. He was out there picking up trash. I wonder if he was using the same line he used on you. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me again is the host and founder of the Right On Podcast Network. It's AJ Wright. What's up, man?
Ryan, hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you back, man. I always love talking to you, especially since you're a patron of the show. So
big time. Yeah, I feel like I'm Cliff.
There you go. Sure.
Yeah. Remember I told you I'm a son of two postal workers. So yeah, I guess I'm Cliff. I deliver the show to you guys. Okay.
We are on season 9, episode 6, Grease. And I'll warn you right now, I don't think there are any references to the musical or the film based on the musical. Grease has something to do with something else. Yeah. This written by Brian Pollock and Mert Rich, directed by James Burrows, and the original air date was Thursday, October 25th, 1990. Norm gets the sad news that his beloved Hungry Heifer restaurant is going to close. Frasier inspires him to battle the depression by saving the heifer. When he surprises the owner, Sid Nelson, with this news, Norm learns that Sid wanted to get out of the business out of guilt and shame for the unhealthy food he's been serving for years. Meanwhile, Robin Colcord is on a prison work crew outside Cheers. Carla struts around the convicts, torturing them with her sexuality. Inside, Sam tortures Rebecca by constantly reminding her that her boyfriend is in jail. Until Sam's antics tick off one of the prison guards and Sam gets led away in cuffs. Alrighty. What did you think about this one?
Like I told you before we hit record that when I watched it the first time back in the summer, I was like, oh, this is kind of flat. And then I watched it today. I got a little bit more out of it. It's dealing with some themes. One, with Robin going to jail, we got like a serialized. So like every episode is building on another. And yeah. Then with Norm losing the Hungry Heifer, we're dealing with like fandom, where it's like, wait a minute, why are you going in a different direction? Why isn't this like how it was when I loved it?
Yeah.
No Country for Old Men. So it's kind of dealing with that theme. And like, we're going into the 1990s. It's about to be the change of a guard. So yeah, mm-hmm. I got way more out of it this time.
Yeah, in particular with the kind of last scene between Norm and Sid. And I, obviously we'll get to that part, but I think that lands a little bit heavier now than I remember it at the time. It's funny you kind of mention that because I find this episode uneven because I really enjoy the Norm plot with the Hungry Heifer and all of that. But the Sam and Rebecca thing irritates me. Sam just seems to be nagging her and annoying her for no particular reason, and he's going too far. And it just, I was happy when he ends up getting arrested just for being a jerk. And I was like, I don't know what Sam is doing there, but we'll build up to that part. But for the teaser for this episode, it starts off, Rebecca is in a bad mood. Frasier tries to, you know, ask her what's wrong, and she basically tells him to shut up. And Frasier does kind of an awkward John Wayne impression. But he asks if she'd like to talk about her problems. And she's like, I don't know if I would feel comfortable talking to you. And he's like, why? Why? Is it because I'm a psychiatrist? And she goes, no, because she saw him dance around with swizzle sticks in his ears when they brought back classic Coke.
Knock him down a peg. There you go.
But she's like, okay, fine, I'll tell you. So she just kind of dumps all of these things on her. She's like, her boyfriend, Robin, is in prison. She's managing a crummy bar. Her career is basically dead. She can't get anywhere in the business world that she started in. She's lonely. She's depressed. And now on top of all of that, she has to sell her precious Mercedes. So, Frasier, what can you do to help with that? And he takes a bit to think about it. He goes, well, I'll give you $5,000 cash and take over your payments.
I love that.
He's only caring about the car. That'll help her.
So, damn, it's good to heal.
Damn, it's good to heal.
You know, these two characters, they share something in common where they come into the scene high class, and then they slowly fall from grace as time goes on.
Absolutely. It's a comment I've made numerous times throughout the show when we're talking about characters like this. I describe it as the gravity well of Cheers that eventually brings everybody down to its level. Like, no matter how great they are at the beginning, no matter how sophisticated and effete that they might be. But after the credits are over, Frasier is alone on his side of the bar, and so he's happy that he can read in peace without the inane chatter coming from Norman Cliff. And then he just starts blabbing as he's going through the paper, reading all of the headlines, commenting on them and everything. And you just see Sam is getting annoyed and just tired of Frasier just going on. And finally, he just announces to Bart, can someone want to play with Frasier, please?
Yeah. You know, I kind of romanticize the whole idea of that wouldn't have been odd for someone to pull out a newspaper at a bar during that time. I don't know. Yeah. Something romantic about that, because you wouldn't see that now. Maybe right. You pull out your Blackberry and show someone what's going on one of the social media sites.
Well, it also, I mean, people will go to bars for ostensibly two reasons: to socialize and talk to people, their peers, or meet people, meet friends, or, you know, somehow interact with people, or to just drown away their problems and like anesthetize themselves via alcohol by themselves. So if you're bringing a newspaper, you're not thinking about socializing. Like, if he's planning to read that, Frasier, you can read anywhere. You don't have to be drinking at this time. So
it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm going to go home to live, but I need to drive around the block a couple of times. So it's like, he has to decompress before he goes home.
There you go. Carla comes in late, and she mentions that there is a prison work crew outside. And she's like, oh, Sammy, you should have heard those filthy, sleazy come-ons. He's like, oh, yeah, were they bad? She's like, I really outdid myself.
I loved it.
You just saw in the previous episode when Sam had to go visit Robin in prison and she tried to go with him. She's like, sneak me in. I need a tattooed man.
Yeah, it's again, something of yesteryear where it's like, as I was walking into my workplace, catcalling was going on. Yeah. Like, that wouldn't really be in dialogue now.
Yeah, exactly. We don't see Robin in this episode. Roger Rees does not appear in this episode, but he kind of looms large because they keep referring to him. Carla tells Rebecca that Robin is one of the cons outside. And, you know, he was just picking up trash. And she goes, I wonder if he was using the same line he used on you.
That's my home run. That was awesome. Yeah, I wonder the same line that he was using to pick up the trash, was that the same line he was using on you? That's one of her best.
That's hard.
Yeah, to her boss, her superior. Yeah. She could have been written up for insubordination for that one.
Yeah. So Rebecca starts to rush out to see him, but then she stops. She starts second-guessing herself and then third-guessing herself. Does she want to see him to show that she loves him? Will that embarrass him? Will he feel ashamed? Will he get in trouble with the guards or the other conmates and everything? How's this? And she's like, she asks Sam for advice, and Sam responds by turning to Frasier and asking about the tabloid story that Frasier was in. And finally, Sam's just like, just blow Robin a kiss or something. And she's like, that'll get him in trouble, you heartless bastard.
So Robin's just outside working on a chain gang.
Yeah, working on the chain. Yeah. Surprise, we don't get that song. We get another song played a lot in this episode.
I was going to ask about that. Was that the original song or like copyright and they had to substitute something else?
I'll come to that. No, I don't think. I can't get enough of Sam Cooke. So if they were going to bring in Sam Cooke's song, by all means. But no. So Sam kind of tells Frasier and Carla, he's like, you know, it must be tough for old Robin Colcord. One day he's living in the penthouse. Next day, he's picking up trash with a stick. And they're like, you're enjoying this, aren't you? And he's like, every minute. And this part is fine because Sam has a reason to hate Robin. Robin screwed him over a number of times. Robin screwed over Rebecca that Sam cared about. He took Rebecca away from him when Sam was going to win her. And then he also screwed Sam out of the bar and made it harder for Sam to get the bar at this time, when he eventually won over. But, you know, he has no love for Robin. He's fine seeing Robin in jail for what he did.
You know, like in the 70s, we had Taxi and the Mary Tyler Moore Show, where those were office comedies. And then we come into this where it's like, okay, where do they go when they leave the workplace? And now the reason why I was able to forgive a lot of the Sam stuff in this episode is because it's like, you know what? This is a workplace comedy and their family, and this is just how they're behaving. Now yeah. It's an ensemble where during the early years, it was a will they, won't they? And now it's just an ongoing ensemble. And I like that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this is the point in the show where they were like, yeah, we can do Frasier can carry an episode by himself. Woody can carry an episode by himself. As we'll see in this one, Norm very much does. And speaking of that, at this point, Cliff and Woody come in. They said Norm and Cliff took Woody to lunch at the Hungry Heifer. And they're like, oh, how was it? And Cliff, he's like, Wednesday ribs capade. End of story.
One rib.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get you, sucker. I had that whole scene with Chris Rock memorized. I could probably still do it. I'm not going to do it because it'll derail us from the show. But, oh, that moment. That, yeah, folks, go watch I'm Going to Get You, Sucker.
Yes.
Scene with Chris Rock. One rib.
One rib.
Anyway, Frasier goes, where's the third member of your gastronomic suicide squad? Now, AJ, you and I, people of our interest level, we're probably inclined to think we're going to perk up and say Suicide Squad. I've read that comic. I've seen that movie based on that comic, and that gets us kind of excited. I would bet money that this is probably a reference to the 1935 movie, The Suicide Squad, and not the comics.
Yes. I think what you were saying in the earlier episode, like when you first started this program, where the writers, the creators of the show, they're coming from radio.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't that was the thing. They didn't grow up watching TV. They had TV, but it wasn't so self-referential because they weren't kind of living that way. But yeah, so they were based on radio and plays and books and stuff. That was where a lot of the humor came from.
So definitely not referring to the comic by John Ostrander.
However, I mean, they might have been referencing the Silver Age Suicide Squad, like the original one with Rick Flag, you know. Anyway, who knows?
Great line nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. So Cliff and Woody tell them that Norm got the bad news that the Heifer is closing. And this must be a real blow considering what that place means to him. And Carla's like, well, they're just closing another beef joint. Cliff has to correct her. It's like, it's not just any beef joint. You've obviously never been there for You Keep the Hoof Night.
You Keep the Hoof. I made it to the hoof.
And the ribs capade. Oh, God. So they all agree, let's be sensitive to Norm when he comes in. Don't say anything to remind him of the heifer. Don't say beef or meat. And Woody goes, well, what about meat as in let's meet for dinner? And Sam goes, yeah, okay, that'd be okay. And Woody's like, well, great. Do you want to get Chinese? And Sam has to read this. He's like, you know, Woody, on second thought, that's not a good idea. Woody's like, glad I asked.
See, that's where it's like, oh, George and Gracie, where, again, if you could turn your eyes off and just listen to the audio and the comedy still works, the radio, the good writing.
Yeah, the writing, there's a musicality to the writing and the delivery. You just have it, yeah. Norm comes in with a very sad entrance. They're like, how's life treating you? He goes, beats me. And it kicks me and leaves me for dead. And he doesn't even make it all the way down to his seat at the end of the bar. He just kind of stops halfway with kind of like at one of the seats where he would have his back to the studio audience, to the viewer. But he kind of sits in profile, so we get that. And Sam puts a beer in front of him, and he just kind of stares at it. He doesn't even have the lifeblood to take a drink of it. And they're like, well, they offer him, these salty pretzels. Doesn't take them. How about these corn nuts or something? And it's just silent and awkward until Woody can't take the awkward silence and just goes, meat.
You all were thinking it.
They jump on him. He's like, you were thinking, I was just the only one who had the guts to say it.
Something to mention, it before you started this season, we know that George went, he passed away.
Right.
And someone put together a clip of all the, Norman, and he walks in and says the thing. So I think a lot of people don't realize this. I think a lot of folks think that happened every episode, but it doesn't. So those clips is not that long. So anytime you get an episode where it's like, Norm, Norman, that's special. So
yeah.
I was able to talk about one of those on this podcast. So I'm happy about that.
So they did it a lot more in the early seasons. And I think that was good because they banked it. Because at this point, it's expected. You kind of know what's coming. And that's also good because, like, the previous season and this season, they're able to play with that. They're able to do jokes about Norm's entrance. Like, back in season 7, when Sam is working down Mexico or Puerto Rico, bar south of the border, and you see this big guy walk in and goes, "Buenos dias, muchachos," and they're like, "Pepe!" Everybody does that. That joke works if you know the Norm thing. So,
right. How's life treating you? Like a baby's diaper. Yeah. I don't know which episode that is, but I remember that from when I was a kid.
That's good. That's
I love
good.
That one. Yeah.
Anyway, so Norm is kind of explaining. He's like, you know, I love the heifer. It was like my home away from Cheers. And he just wants to be alone. So he kind of turns and starts to walk down that hallway toward the pool room. Sam picks up his glass of beer and he's about to pour it out when Norm stops and goes, "Oh, whoa, hey. Not that alone." And he takes the beer with him.
I love it.
And then Carla tells Rebecca that the prisoners have loaded the bus and they're off. And Sam tells Carla she has to be sensitive, Rebecca, because she misses her man. And as he's saying these things, he kind of just keeps reminding Rebecca of it. And then he starts to follow Rebecca to the office. And he's like, if there's anything Sam can do for her or to her, he's there for her or here for her or wherever. And it's kind of like this awkward come on. They're not at that stage of the relationship. They're beyond that point where he was always trying to trick her into getting in bed or convince her. So this part, I think, just comes off as, again, he's just being a kind of a jerk. And she calls him out. She's like, you make me sick. And he says, oh, come on. He's like, you can't stop thinking about it. And he says something, you're imagining me right now, stretched out naked. And she goes, don't forget the toe tag. Which, you know, like,
I love that. It was like this was written for the previous season.
It does. Yeah.
I thought we were past this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things, like, this is oddly placed and doesn't feel there. They do get some few gags there because he's like, well, would that toe tag happen to say for a good time, follow this leg? And she slams the office door on them. And he just turns around and he's almost kind of just cackling as he kind of like swings his way into the bar, like not like over it, but just kind of like does like a little like a gymnastics thing, just like pushing himself off the bar into there. And he just tells them, I sure know how to make my own fun, don't I? And it's fun to see him that excited about something, but it's also the object of his mockery is kind of a little bit unfair, untoward.
Yeah. He's still upset about being left on those train tracks.
Yeah. Oh, remember that? I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And the skinheads had to bring him home. That's what he said.
Anyway, Norm kind of comes back and he's able to talk about it until he's not just sad to lose the restaurant. He cares for the owner. It's this guy, Sid Nelson. And he says he's tough on the outside, but soft and mushy on the inside. Cut to Cliff across the bar, goes, not unlike his entire menu. And Norm just picks it up. He's like, Sid was always there for me. Back to Cliff, not unlike his entire menu.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised they didn't go for a third.
Yeah, I you really think, like, the rules of threes, they needed to come back to that.
Yeah.
And Frasier kind of diagnoses Norm that, like, the closing of the restaurant is having a profound effect on him because he's losing something that was always there for him, that was always important. And you compared it to fandom in a sense, and we can talk about that. But I think Frasier in his diagnosis, he's talking about mortality and kind of the inevitable ending of everything. And this is Norm really thinking about how things will end, how his life might end. And he's like, you know, you can beat back this depression by leaving a legacy, leaving your mark on the world. And Carla's like, he always leaves two marks on the stool. And he's like, that's not what I'm talking about. She's like, no, big ones. When he goes home at night, the stool looks like it has a mohawk.
And she gave him a hug when she said that. So yeah. it was a love tap.
Yeah. So Frasier's like, well, you can, you know, do something to save the hungry heifer, or better yet, something to save yourself. You know, you can diet, you can exercise, work for charity, or go home, like, what does he say? Something like the most life-affirming thing of it all. Go home and start a family with Vera. And Norm just gets, his eyes just go wide. He's like, that's it. You're right, Frasier. I'm going to do it. I'm going to save the hungry hat from anyone. Like,
anything but go home.
Yeah. And he's just like chanting and like cheering as he's like walking towards the door, a man on a mission. And Frasier's like, well, what about getting healthy and making a baby with Vera? And Norm just like scoffs at him. Psh, you do it.
Wrong takeaway.
Right, right.
It reminds me of your promo. Like, shouldn't you be at home taking care of your baby? Would you want me to?
Exactly. That. That was the type of joke I was going for. Yep. Later on, or the next day, I think Carla comes in wearing jean cutoff shorts and a tank top because she was washing people's cars out outside because the prison work crew was back in front of a bar for whatever reason. So she's washing their cars, getting all wet and sudsy on her and everything. And she's just returning everybody's keys. She says, who had the powder blue caddy? And it's Phil, the new old guy, who is actually played by Rhea Perlman's dad. I always love that. But she kind of raises a hand. Yeah, he's got a blue Cadillac. And Carla starts telling Rebecca how she's flirting with one of the guards, the guy Vince and everything. And we get another scene of just Sam still teasing Rebecca and enjoying her suffering. And it's, and like at this point, it's like, okay, why are we still doing this? Norm comes out of the pool room now. He's been working hard to save the heifer. He got 50 more signatures on his petition. But now he's really starting to get writer's cramp.
Norm does this. When he gets motivated, he really goes all out.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
And what he says, he knows how it feels because he had a heck of a time getting signatures when he wanted to repair the Hanover band shell after the 4th of July explosion. He couldn't even get his uncle Elwood to sign it. And they're like, wow, you couldn't convince your uncle? He's like, no, he was convinced. He just couldn't grip the pen without any fingers. See, he was in charge of the fireworks that year.
Wow.
They're like, stop. Would he stop? Just another one of his uncles who got maimed. I never even like picked up until I started doing this podcast, really, was the fact that every time he tells a story of a family member, it's always something horrible happening to one of his family members. And it's always a different family member. It's like always a different name.
We might need to do a board, you know, keeping track of the family.
I'd have to go back, but yeah.
How many uncles? Yeah.
That's a homework assignment for somebody.
Yeah, for real.
And then, you know, Rebecca's doing something and Sam starts putting on the song on the jukebox. And the song is I Fought the Law by the Bobby Fuller Four. Great song. I love this song. And the note that you were kind of mentioning is this was the song that they played during the original broadcast. At some point when it went to, I think both for the DVD, and it's been forever since I've watched the DVD, I would have to go check, but I think for the DVD and when it started doing syndication on like MeTV in the early 2000s, they had lost the rights to the song. They didn't have the license for that. So they replaced it with another generic song of this type. I don't know, something about, you know, prison or cops or the law or something like that. I don't remember what song it was. And I didn't have that note. By now, however, if you're watching it, if you got the digital file or you're streaming it or something, it should have the original song, I Fought the Law, again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he does this to torture Rebecca, and she turns off the jukebox, and she's like, I'm not gonna, you're not going to turn me off of Robin. I'm going to stand by my man, just like the song. And she pushes the button for a different song in the jukebox, and it starts playing I Fought the Law again.
So that was Ferris Bueller stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So she unplugs the jukebox and Sam takes out, he's got a portable radio, like a portable tape player, like not as big as a boom box, but like an early version, just like one of those. And he's got the tape of it playing. And again, it's like, I like the spirit of it, but it's like, well, no, I don't like the spirit. It just seems wantonly cruel and mean to Rebecca for no reason. Robin is the one he has a problem with. He should be torturing Robin, not Rebecca.
And it's like, Sam, you're supposed to be a little too cool for this. So it's like, what's happening? But it's right. Like, okay, well, we don't really know what to do with Sam. So right. they're doing this.
It was almost like we missed something at the beginning where she would have done something to hurt Sam's feelings or annoy him or something. Anywho, Frasier and Cliff are going to play pool, but Woody tells them that they can't because Carla's keeping a guard on the pool table. They're like, why is she doing that? I guess she likes him. She actually has a guard there.
Wow.
So Norm comes back in. He's really excited. He went. He was turning in the signatures at City Hall, and he checked the Hall of Records, and he basically got the heifer designated a roadside landmark because it is the only place on the eastern seaboard that has a giant, red-eyed, steam-snorting mechanical bull on the roof. To which everybody starts mentioning all of these other restaurants that have this. Like, this should be a popular thing. They're like, what about Bill's Place for Steak? And they're like, no, that bowl was stolen. It's like, what about Chucky's Steakhouse? It was struck by lightning. Like, they just mentioned all these restaurants. Like, wow, it really is the end of an era.
Well, last man standing.
And Cliff has this weird little moment. He's like, next they'll take down the big bucket of chicken at KFC. And he's like, the message to Big Boy from like Bob's Big Boy. He's like, take off those overalls and get a job. But you know who doesn't have to worry? Denny, because nobody knows what he looks like.
I love that.
And he just stops and has this moment where he looks at Frasier and he's like, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah. No one knows what Denny looks like.
Sam bought this new outfit and he wants a woman's point of view. So Rebecca's like, okay. And he comes out and he basically does this fashion show wearing like a gray prison jumpsuit with like an orange work vest. And he's got a stick to pick up trash, a fake ball and chain. And he has Frasier and Cliff are reading a script like they're announcing the fashion show. And the outfit comes with matching tattoos that say Born to Raise Hell and It's Society's Fault. And they really put on like a pageant of this. And again, it's like, you're going over the top. Sam starts doing an impression of Robin with this fake British accent. And he's stabbing the floor with a stick, stabbing it. Just as Carla and her guard boyfriend come out of the hallway. And the guard cuffs Sam. He's like, you're just spending a night in the box. And Sam's like, wait. I'm not one of your prisoners. He goes, I know, but you stabbed me in the foot. And I have a gun. So you're spending the night in the box. So
what was interesting about that is like the accent. I don't know if Sam was like being Cockney or whatever, but it was straight not how Robin talks.
So it's just this
extreme. And I love the fact that it like this guy gets under Sam's skin. So that's what he's hearing in his head.
Right. And as Sam is being taken away, he appeals to Rebecca. He's like, do something, help tell this guy. And she just plays the song I Fought the Law on the radio again.
Wow. And then that's the bow in the end.
Yeah. We know Sam didn't spend all night there because that night at dinner at the Hungry Heifer, Sam is with them. He's with Norm, Cliff, Frasier, and Woody. And Norm gets up to make an announcement. Because of the success we've had, the fudge volcano will keep erupting for another hour.
What is this place?
Yeah. And Norm, then he introduces the gang to Sid Nelson, the owner, and Sid Nelson is played by Sheldon Leonard, who is a legend in Hollywood. Before this, you know, he was a legendary producer on the old shows, the Danny Thomas Show, the Dick Van Dyke Show, the Andy Griffith Show, Don Rickles Show, as an actor. And he's in hundreds of movies dating back to classical Hollywood. He was in It's a Wonderful Life. He was in To Have and Have Not, Captain Kidd, Another Thin Man, Somewhere in the Night, Guys and Dolls, like lots of stuff. And he just has this very distinct voice. You just hear his voice, almost like he's got like some gauze in his mouth or something when he talks.
But yes.
Norm tells him that he got an injunction against the construction, making the heifer immune from any wrecking ball. And Sid doesn't seem relieved. He throws the paper down. He kind of storms off into the kitchen. So Norm follows him in there, and Sid is just dumping gas around the fire on like the stove and everything. And Norm's like, you could have a grease fire. I mean, I know you have them every night, but this one could get out of hand. And Sid tells him that, you know, he wanted to get out of the business. The developers were going to pay him for the land like three times what it was worth. And he's like, I didn't know you wanted to, you hated the job. And he's like, and he kind of goes into this like heartfelt thing. He feels guilty about pushing this unhealthy food on people. And he has this line. He's like, this is the 90s, normally, which, you know, throwing back 35 years ago, but this is the 90s. We've learned a lot about the kinds of poisons we've been putting into our bodies. I'm like, Boy, way to sit. Here's about microplastics.
But. Yeah, yeah. But this is just very interesting. It's like this cocaine dealer towards the end of his life. Like, what have I done?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's part of it is sad because, like, I don't know that we learned any lesson from this.
No, of course not. Come on. Come on.
Any, like, you know, my all-time crush, Michelle Obama, she just, her whole campaign didn't make a dent. But.
Don't you dare tell my child eats spinach. How dare you, Popeye? But now, this is something that I find hilarious. Anytime there's like, we're gassing this place down for the insurance, or we're shredding papers because we're engaged in fraud, I find that hilarious. Every time.
Yeah. And he just says, let's talk about the guilt for what I've been doing to bodies like yours. He just looks at him. It's like,
see, that's kind of
the only way out is to torch the place.
You know, that's kind of interesting because, you know, the show Veep, they there was like a tall guy on there named Jonah.
Yeah.
They weren't making fun of his character. They're making fun of his physical features. And I remember he was interviewed in GQ magazine. They're like, hey, how does it feel at the writing staff? Like, they're making fun of like you, how you look. So like to say that to George Wendt or, you know, Robin Concord, the actor wasn't at in this episode. So he wasn't in that table reading. But with Sam mocking him, that's always a tricky thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean, just a few episodes ago, they had Norm getting stuck in the window. So I think Norm was aware of his body and what he looked like. That was the whole thing. So
I watched that episode, and because I realized I haven't watched Cheers. Like, this podcast is making me revisit the show. I realized, like, I don't think I've watched Cheers in the 2000s. And I remember that whole Winnie the Pooh thing, and I didn't tear up, but I was just very moved, like, oh, I remember this, and watching it the day that it broadcasted. So it just, I don't know, it was something warm about it.
Anyway, so yeah, he is like, we got to torch the place, and Norm won't let him do that. And Sid's like, oh, of course, good thinking. They'd suspect me. But who can I get to light the match? He has no son. Norm is the son he never had. So he tells Norm to light the match. And Norm's like, I won't let you go through with this. And Norm kind of goes, he's like, look, I never said this to my own father, but I love you, Sid. And he kind of gives him this big hug. And Sid's like, I love you too, Norm. Now light the match.
Light the match.
Like,
I don't know. It just commend Fry. It just makes me start laughing. It's just so insane. We got to burn this place down to the ground.
And then we get this nice little epilogue where it's later on Norm is back in the front of the restaurant at the table with the guys, and he's excited. He's like, he convinced Sid to say that he could serve a healthier menu with smaller portions. They can actually put greens in the salad bar. He's like, I really turned Sid around. And then you just see smoke billowing from the kitchen door, and people start evacuating. They're like, fire, fire. And Sid comes out there with one of the employees. And Norm's like, well, Sid, what are you doing? And he goes, this is Gus, the busboy. Now he is the son I never had.
That was awesome.
And that was it. That's how the episode ends.
And the shirts are online. You can find Hungry Heifer shirts.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other guest actor that I didn't mention, Vince, the prison guard, is played by John Patrick Rieger. He only has 10 credits on IMDb, ranging from 1984 to 1994. So, sure about that. Yeah, all of the stuff with the heifer, I really enjoy the stuff with Cliff and Norm and Fraser and Woody. All of their parts are really good. I actually like Carla's whole thing of going out there and teasing the prison work crew. It's really just Sam, who I love. Sam's the best character, but he gets on my nerves this episode. So,
and I think that's why I had kind of marked the whole episode lousy as far as flat, because I was thinking of the Sam thing. And then when I revisited, I was like, oh no, there's some stuff to play with here.
Yeah, yeah. For Norm's tab, he had 3 beers this episode, which brings him up to 859.
I knew he could do it.
859, and we're only on the 6th episode of the season. For the employee of the week, I've mentioned this, and I don't know if it's just a coincidence or serendipity, because I talked about it at the beginning of the season with George Wendt just passing away. So far, this season has been Norm's season. Like, he hasn't been my MVP every episode, but he has been close. And I do give it to him this time around. Norm was my employee of the week.
Norm is my employee of the week. However, I have a close runner-up, and I'm going to say this, and I got to blush through this because I feel dirty by saying this, but there was a part where Carla told Rebecca Howe, hey, get your front wet. So I'm like, huh? And then she said, okay, but you should have saw the way Robin was looking at me. He almost stabbed the trash. I was like, what's happening here? So I was blushing. I'm blushing right now. Like, even though this is a podcast, people can see me blushing right now.
Carla was good. She was good too.
Yeah.
For the home run, you've already mentioned it's Carla's line. He's picking up the trash. I wonder if he used the same line on you. Do you have any others or any other runners up for your favorite parts?
Other than get your front wet.
That was good. That was an impressive moment. My favorite, again, it was funny, but I also kind of like the pathos of it, the whole scene between Norm and Sid in the kitchen. Yes. How he's kind of having this, like, this crisis where he feels guilty, like a drug dealer. He's just been pushing this unhealthy lifestyle on these people for his own profit, and his guilt is finally getting to him. And there's also the part where Norm is like, he's able, he looks at this guy like a father, and he's able to tell him he loves him when Norm couldn't say that to his own father.
Yeah.
But if it's a comedy moment, I come back to just like this awkward silence and Woody going, me. Like, it's not like they're like, don't say beef or meat like in a sentence or bring it up kind of casually, but he just says the word and that's enough.
Hey, I felt him on that one. Sometimes you just got to get it out.
Yeah. AJ, thank you again for being my guest on the show. Always love talking about this. Where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Hey, if you type in Right On Network in any of these podcast search engines, you will find us. And I just wanted to mention, you talked about the episode where Kevin McHale was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, this is Boston, but I have a connection with him too. And I want to claim him because I'm a big Houston Rockets fan. He was our coach. And I just love the blue collar mentality he brought to the team. So yeah, that John McHale episode was awesome.
Now you coach the team.
I'm sorry, Kevin McHale. I don't know why I'm saying John. Kevin McHale.
Nice, nice. Good job. And Tim Price brought this up too, but you have to spell Right On Network for the audience so they know.
Oh, yes. W-R-I-G-H-T. W-R-I-G-H-T. That's Right On Network, right with a silent W. And now that I think about it, a silent G and an H as well. So Right On Network. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming back again. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the aforementioned Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and until next time, we're closed. A robbing people with a six-gun, hop off the law, and the law won, hop off the law, and the law won. I miss my baby, and I'm... I didn't know you wanted out of this place since. Why? How would you like to spend 7 days a week up to your elbows in cow flesh? I never knew you felt this way. Well, I didn't always, but I don't know. This is the 90s, Norm. We've learned a lot about the kind of poisons we've been putting into our bodies. You look at that, you see some T-bones and a rump roast. I see a loaded gun. I've been carrying it around with me for a long time, Norm. The guilt for what I've been doing to bodies like yours.